This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is the To Hull and Back podcast, the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast, as I should say, sponsored by Old's Logical Bar and Kingfisher. I'm your host, Nathaniel Witto, and tonight I'm joined by both standard guests, typical, usual suspects even, Will and Ant. So after 4 points this week, how are we feeling about Hull City?
Very good. Very good indeed. Seven and beaten and four. Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. Delightful. You've got a packet of why don't you just explain why you've got that for the lovely listeners at home?
It's a packet of hobnobs. I don't think I need to explain any further.
Yeah. Well, some people who perhaps haven't been looking at the news or the Hull City kits as we played today. We might touch on it a bit later, but it's nice to be run by a club on biscuit money rather than something a bit less morally.
As I said positive. On Twitter a couple of days ago. Biscuit money over blood oil, any day.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even just, it's more exciting and kind of welcoming and homely than just car money or energy money or something like that. So, let's just launch straight into it. We drew against Leeds. I'm sure we'll mention it later, perhaps, over the course of the 90 minutes. I'll just ask, Ant, were you happy with the draw? Or did you feel like we missed out on 2 points because of what happened at the very end?
I think 11 versus 11, we really struggled to lay a finger on Leeds. I think, they've got a squad that's, worth probably 100 million or something like that. They had quite a rough summer with players leaving and whatnot, but they've still got a front line that costs something like around 75 to 80 million pounds. So, they're going to cause a lot of teams problems. They seem to have clicked now, the transfer window's shut. They've got a settled side. Farker knows what he's got now and they're heading in the right direction. And it was always going to be a tough game for us. I thought first half we really struggled to stay in the game. But second half, obviously, when they went down to 10 men, we sort of took the impetus. And, with very few chances, but probably the best chance of the game, which Adama hits the post with, which is probably harder to do. I think we'd have all took a point before the game, wouldn't we? It's just a shame that we couldn't have nabbed three in that little... That chance that, you've got to take those if you want to win those games, but we didn't. But we also got a clean sheet, so there's your positive.
Yeah, but do you agree with that sentiment, Will?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I think the draw over the 90 was probably the correct result. Leeds had the first half, we had the second, obviously, held by that yellow card. As you say, Adama's miss wasn't great. It wasn't great at all.
Yeah, like, put it nicely.
He genuinely did the most hardest thing to do there. It was easier to completely miss the goal or score than it is to hit the woodwork.
Yeah. Yeah, I think perhaps, skipping ahead a little bit, his goal today was just sort of instinct, whereas perhaps he had a lot of a lot of time to think about the one at Leeds, just sort of almost celebrated, you know, especially in the 8th to 9th minute, thinking about how big the goal could be, and then sort of didn't do what he should have done, which is just stay calm.
I suppose it's matched by Rutter missing in the first half, all sorts of saving from him, and it's a one-on-one, and he really should have scored that himself.
Yeah, so the main selection thing that perhaps we were interested about was Ryan Alsop coming in for his debut, and came under a lot of sort of criticism from some Hull fans who didn't see him play, and then from Cardiff and Derby fans who have seen him play and thought he's not the best goalkeeper when we signed him from on a permanent deal from Cardiff. Ingram hadn't really put a foot wrong, but this is now the third season where he's been dropped, previously for Baxter and Darlow. So, Ant, what did you think before the game? And Alsop made some good saves, especially that one-on-one against Rutter. So at the moment, it's his shirt to lose now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what's clear is that Rosinia sees the goalkeeper suiting his system as really important, because, like you say, every time now we bring in another goalkeeper that's just as good as Ingram, they always end up being phased in and aren't really removed from that point. I think what he sees Ingram as is the, you know, the solid second choice. He's not someone to begrudge if he'd have been the first choice, because we know how good he can be in terms of shot stopping and that, but in terms of actually playing out from the back and his distribution and maybe his calmness on the ball and decision making on when to go long or when to go short, isn't quite what Rosini is after. Whereas Alsop's come in and had what, two man of the match performances in the two games he's played for us. So yeah, it just shows that, you know, that extra bit of sort of adaptability to the system just helps the team a lot more, but also, you know, helps the back four. I think when we're getting pressed high, I think we were struggling obviously with Ingram in goal and his decision making, it sort of sometimes got us trapped into a corner where a team would aggressively press us. But with Alsop, he seems to know when to, like the clever little dinks over the top to somebody out wide in space, you know, that's something that Ingram wasn't quite able to do, or would kick it out for a throw-in kind of thing. So no, I think it's showing that it's another player where the former clubs, you know, told us that he's no good at all, and he's come here and he's proven absolutely opposite. So no, I'm really happy that he's come into the squad and looked really good, because, like you say, all those pieces of the puzzle now are just starting to come together.
Yeah, in a nutshell, he fits the way Rosinia wants to play, more better than Ingram does. As good as Ingram is, he just fits that slot better. And as it is, Rosinia wants players who can play that football the best he can get them. So it was a no-brainer that eventually he was going to come into the side. And, well, he's at two man of the matches. I maybe wouldn't have given him man of the match against Stoke, but he did walk away with it, so I can't really begrudge him for it. He's kind of already proved he's rightly in the team.
Yeah, I think the longer we keep Ingram, the better, because, I mean, I know 29 is not really young for a goalkeeper. Sort of Baxter was at sort of 23, 22 when we had him. But I think having him as the second choice for a lot of years with these other goalkeepers coming in, if we do sign more over the next few years, it's really good to have him as a second choice, because he's actually really, really good, I think, especially at shot stopping. I mean, with Alsop, some of his long balls haven't been amazing, but generally I think the main complaint we'd have about Ingram is that he doesn't release the ball quick enough, whereas Alsop's, you know, more forward-thinking, like George Long used to be, perhaps, trying to get some assists. There was one almost reached Connolly against Leeds very early on, and then, of course, he created the second goal today, finding Connolly that time. So perhaps he needs to work playing out from the back. I'm sure he probably didn't play that system at Cardiff, so perhaps it might get a bit of getting used to it, but long balls have been pretty good so far. And I mean, yeah, great save from Rutter. I thought, you know, it was like that Muller miss against England at the Euros, where he had the whole sort of half to himself and you think he's going to score and then miss. So that was, you know, the best part of the game in terms of how much we celebrated, along with the red card. I mean, to touch on Traore, Danny here's asked a question if Traore is the best natural number 10 we have at the club, and he thinks he should have a solid run. I guess two fans probably the best number 10, but he's probably shown a bit more than Twine this season. I know Twine's
not really played in his number 10 role either yet, really.
No, the only time he's played in the number 10 was because today was one of the first times we had a number 10. Traore started, he came off the bench for the last half an hour. So, and
he's certainly far better in the middle. I think obviously when he came into the side last season and he played in that central role. He was really good. It's his ability to take the ball under pressure. He's very similar to Seri, just more creative in an attacking sense. Yeah. Whereas, you know, he can get the ball in tight areas, keep possession and play little 1-2s with players and get into more space. And I think Traore is really, really good at that. And when we were playing him out wide, you lose that ability from him because he isn't an out wide player. Obviously, he was a square peg in a round hole, but we all knew that anyway. But it's hard for him to get into that number 10 role, like we say, because of the players available that we want to play there. But going on to this performance, why can't you give him the next game at least? You know, yes, it was a bad miss against Leeds, but he scored today and I thought he played really well overall. I think he kind of plays a little bit different to Toufan. I think this is the main thing to take from the squad this season, is that we've got a lot of options in the attacking areas, but each player gives us something different. I think that's the massively important bit. Like, if you look back to last season, we were very one-dimensional, whereas this season now we've got options to change it up as and when, or for tactical reasons. Like Toufan, I think, is better as a, not necessarily a number 10, but he does that sort of second striker role where he runs into the box a bit more than Traore does, who likes to drop onto the edge of the box. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, he's got a goal. It'd be harsh to drop him for the next game, but you can also see why Rossini would want to get Toufan back in the squad because he's scored four goals, and or want to get Twine back into the squad because he knows how good he can be. We've just not seen it yet. So, no, he's definitely put a claim down for that spot for me, but we'll have to wait and see.
It's just that strength and depth we've got at the moment. Talking about the red card, I mean, again, similar with the Stoke game, I don't know whether we were consistent for the 90 minutes. We weren't against Coventry, and then we were really good at least keeping the ball and kind of putting pressure on Leeds if we didn't even create that many clear opportunities. When they did go down to 10 men, it really changed the game. So just a bit frustrating we couldn't play like that, but you know, for the whole time. But I think a point against Leeds, that's two clean sheets against Leicester and Leeds, who are supposed to be these really, you know, great teams. So, of course, Leeds are just behind us and Leicester ahead of us. But I think that shows that, I mean, really, if we'd kept, you know, that point against Norwich, which we sort of should have, we'd be 8 unbeaten. I think this season has been really good so far. It's best championship season we've ever had after 8 games. I know we probably would have had more points in League One under McCann, but
played the two relegated sides and not conceded a goal.
The two favourites to go straight back up.
Yeah. I mean, Southampton, they've not really been great. We're playing them in a few weeks, probably a good time before they click. Interested, you talked about Leeds thinking that they've clicked. That was one of the things you put in the a good post you did, the Leeds bingo, Leeds fan bingo. So that was good. And, annoying. I mean, especially for you and the Traore miss, because you have to work with Leeds fans, or you know a lot of Leeds fans. So do you want to just talk about how frustrating that is, I guess?
It's not even just in the context for me personally. It's just in context of the season. Like that difference between 1 point and 3 points is just that one moment. You know, if that goal goes in, we're in such a good position right now. And like you say, if we'd got that point against Norwich as well, you know, it would be just outside the top two. But yeah, no, it is tough when you're in laws of Leeds fans and you work with Leeds fans and you used to work with Leeds fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your biggest chance of the game when they're down to 10 men, you fluff it. So yeah, I've had a few days of grief. So today's goal's gone some way to helping me forgive Adama, but he's got a couple of goals to go, I think, before he can safely be off my angry list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ian's got a comment that's relevant for you, Will, and firstly, the quietness of the Leeds fans. He thinks that they were worried about playing us.
I know that. I thought they were very quiet, considering the reputation they obviously always seem to have.
Yeah. I think first
half, about winning the European Championship. They sang about winning some European trophy that they never won for about 10 minutes, didn't they?
The champions of Europe. What are you on about?
they sing it, so it must be true.
Coventry were by far the best away side so far, stealing the season by a mile.
And then Ian Templeman says that on today's game, we were very close to the 3-0. If we keep playing like this, then you'll finally be able to predict something else, but not quite. Unfortunately,
keep predicting it because we're currently fourth.
Yeah, it's working quite well, isn't it? And aren't you actually top of the prediction table?
I think we'll find out in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out soon.
I'll update after this episode.
Yeah, I guess the only negative that came out of the Leeds game, sort of major negative, because I think over the 90 minutes a draw was fairly respectable for us. Coyle had to miss the Stoke game through not suspension but the concussion protocol.
He having his nose turned sideways.
Yeah, it didn't look great. Didn't look great. When did that happen?
I grieved it.
Because I saw Coyle in like the first 5 minutes get hit in the head by the ball. So I thought, is that when that happened? But it was later.
No, it happened near the end of the game.
It was just before Ealing was subbed off.
It happened when he went off. That's why he had to go off. It was just a collision between him and Greaves. It's just an unfortunate one. But now he has a nose like his brother.
Yeah, so I wasn't at the Coventry game. So this was my first chance to see Philogene in the flesh. And I thought, you know, first half he did quite well against Ealing, but I think his performance against Stoke was much better. And then some other things that came out in the week. I'll mention it now just to get it out of the way for people who are finding this quite annoying now. I said that I would mention him only if he scored. And he did score. He scored a worldie. He scored a worldie against Rotherham. Ryan Longman scored for Millwall in just his second start. So well done to him.
He's back to doing his on-loan form.
Yeah, or perhaps it's his wing-back form, because that's where he's been playing for Millwall.
I think that is where he played best football for Hull City.
Yeah, perhaps it's just slightly less pressure to attack when you're a wing-back compared to a striker. And perhaps that is just...
someone not here.
Yeah, well, he's at the club. You know, I'm sure we're probably paying some of his wages. But,
I don't know. With taking some sly digs at Rosinia in the newspaper, he might not be back in summer.
Yeah, possibly not. Maybe he's just loving
his
time.
I'm not sure coming out and criticising your parent club is the wisest thing to do.
No, perhaps not. And then Ian Templeman there says that, well, both Allsop and Longman made the team of the week. So that was good for the Ryans at Hull City. And then a confirmation that there is a £50 million buyback clause for Philogene. And I think after, you know, the season's going...
If we get promoted.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. I suppose it would be fairly sensible if that was the only way we could get him and he is the difference between us going up and not going up, then perhaps losing out on him. And of course, with all that playoff or promotion money, we'd be able to get a replacement. It's not really that bad. I think if we were in the Championship and we were able to sell him for that much, that'd be kind of a bad deal.
Well, Tan sort of explains it really well in that interview with Hull Live, where he said, you know, that kind of clause helped us sign him above other teams, because then Villa, you know, like you say, in the future, if we get promoted, they could, you know, buy him back for £15 million. But then we also, the ball's not in our court, where in their court, whereas if a bid comes in for him, we have to tell them first and offer them first dibs, which is something I thought would always happen. They'd have first refusal and buy back kind of thing. But they haven't got first refusal. So if a team comes in with a bigger offer, we can accept the bigger offer. So they've looked after the financial future of the club in the signing as well. Because what, we're signing for £5 million. Even if we get promoted and Villa signing back, you've made £10 million on him. But if not, you know, another club comes in for him, they're going to have to pay a lot more than 15. You know, they were all saying, the Villa fans, 15, £20 million player anyway. So, you know, for the future, for the club, I mean, you know, on the off chance that we do get promoted this season, are they realistically going to want to sign him back for £15 million? I don't think they will, with the wingers that they've got available. You know, it'd come down to a case of who they lose in summer or whatnot. But no, it was a smart thing to do. I do feel like Tan and Adjin have got their heads screwed on when it comes to transfers.
Yeah.
Far more than obviously the previous owners did. I think in terms of recruiting players from here, we've got serious pull.
They've got their heads screwed on far more than they did a year ago.
Yeah, they've learned. And I think that we all knew that it was going to be a learning process with these in charge. And I think that they've realised, you know, that they have to adapt and they weren't just going to come in and basically have it as a Hull City ultimate team. And, you know, they've brought in Rosinia, who's probably helped advise along the way as well. And we've come to sort of this symbiotic relationship between the manager and the owners where, you know, it's working for the club.
Yeah. So something else that came out in the news that Tan Kessler had talked about was the new McVitie's deal. Sort of touched on that, but I think financial fair play wise, that's, you know, along with the Corindon thing last year and the sponsorship. I think these sort of things, these deals are really going to help. You know, especially with the wages that we're going to be paying for sort of Tufan and Seri, these sort of people. But financially, I think the signings have been much more astute than last year. And I think that sort of buyback clause, including that, meant that we could get him. And I think, yeah, if it's only if we go up, you know, who knows? They might not even want to sign him because maybe he isn't worth that much. We don't really know. But let's just move on to the game today. We have sort of talked about it before. We hadn't won in Stoke since 2006, so we've put that to
in
rest.
In the league,
we won there 6 years ago.
With Ryan Mason scoring a lovely
great
ball.
Ryan Mason goal and a last-minute winner from Marcus Henriksen, if I remember that correctly, in the League Cup. Old Sock man of the match again. We've sort of touched on him, but that's a really good signing, I think. And I think Philogene, as I said, this performance from him was much better. So, Will, general thoughts on what was another really good away win?
Yeah. The first 20 minutes were a bit rubbish. Both teams were very scrappy, sort of didn't know what, couldn't really do much with the ball, to be honest. We were both at each other's throats, crossing misplaced passes. But after about 20 minutes, we started to control the game. And then once we went ahead, obviously we scored two in quick succession. But once we got that first, there was really only one team in it for the rest of the game. It was a perfect sort of example of what Rossignol wants us to play like pretty much that game. Sort of control possession, sort of crowded, for the most part, crowded Stoke out of chances. When we did have our chances, for the most part, we pretty much took them. We were very clinical for the most as well. So no one had a particularly bad game, apart from maybe, I thought Seri at times was a bit iffy in the midfield. He took too long on quite a few chances, and obviously right on half-time, him and Connolly had a spat. And I think it was mainly because he was taking too much time on the ball and letting Stoke get in it. But apart from that, it was what I want to see from City going away from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes when you go away from home, you can sort of be scared, maybe just try and defend. But we're playing like we do at home, away, and, you know, trying to control the match. I think that's the best thing to do. And was this sort of a case that, I mean, last year we did draw at Stoke. So this has sort of shown that we've progressed a little bit because both teams had chances, but we signed these attacking quality players this summer and they made the difference today. So, was that a case that, you know, the new signing sort of, you know, made the difference to last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, as we've touched on before, the depth in the squad and the options we've got coming on off the bench, even just for squad rotation. I mean, I was quite surprised that Delap, Tufan and Twine weren't starting. I kind of half expected Twine to get dropped because I feel like he needs a little bit of a break to sort of get himself together again. But yeah. To include Traore and bring Morton in, I thought, and Vinagre. I mean, we knew Vinagre was going to come in, didn't we? Because Cole can play. But, you know, these changes can easily ruin your momentum if you feel like you've got it. But we sort of just carried on seamlessly. Like, that momentum won't stop whatsoever. I think we raised, you know, the possible issue of playing Morton and Seri together in the middle because they're quite similar. But I feel like it actually was better.
No problems at all.
They complement each other in a way that Ryan Wood never did. Morton likes to... I think when we're trying to play out from the back, what happens is Seri and Morton both drop very deep, but into different spaces. So when we're getting pressed up into the top end, outside our box, we've got an easy route out, that sort of little triangle we play between Allsop, centre-back, midfielder, and then we can find out wide. And I feel like the system works. I really do like Morton. He was actually my man of the match today. I thought he absolutely bossed that midfield for us.
Yeah, he was who I was going to say. I didn't think it was Allsop. I thought it was Morton.
Yeah, Morton for me today was fantastic. I feel like he's forced his way into the starting position. It's hard because, you know, naturally the player that probably would be dropped would be Regan Slater, and he essentially scored today. I mean, he's going to go down as
well. He played further forward where I think we wanted him to play for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we said this on the last episode, didn't we? We lost Regan Slater's goals and assists because he's been playing in a deeper role, which I don't think suits Slater. He's not a drop on the edge of the box possession kind of player, is he? He likes to press from the front, and I feel like it was a very smart tactical decision to do that because having to play Vinagre, who we know is very good going forwards, not so good maybe going defensively. Yeah. Slater protected him. You put him on that side and it gave sort of Vinagre that freedom to go forwards and create some opportunities for us. Like, you know, Philogene was unlucky to score from a good cross from Vinagre. And I just feel like the balance of the team's right. No matter what team selection we've got at the minute, the balance is good. And that's just, it's great for us because last season we had hardly any options. This season we've got rotation options off the bench and it's working. And today felt like that kind of win. that a top six side does against a bottom half side on the run. You know what I mean? A decent away performance, come away. Because I didn't think we actually played. I don't think we got out of third gear today, and we came away with a 3-1.
Probably didn't, no.
No, and that's such a positive, because this side's got such high potential that you can see it coming together now. That kind of result for me is just really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting to see us playing the same way at home or away. That's what the senior talks about. And I think, I mean, Connolly, 7 goals in 13 now. He's continuing his fine form. You know, I think it was Erik ten Hag this week said that his Man United team sort of misfits, and ours are sort of similar. A lot of players that have been injured or not played. I know Vinagre and Connolly especially, I think, played well today. And I think Morton, I know the Slater goal won't go down as his, but Morton, he's already...
Don't compare our players to Man United squad.
Well, no.
It's full
no.
of Romans. I don't want any...
It certainly is. Well, they are certainly misfits, but ours are just sort of players who've had sort of poor form or poor luck elsewhere. And Connolly, you know, the senior's getting the best out of him. Connolly, I think, is certainly one of those main people. But Allsop has sort of not been great at Cardiff. Maybe this, you know, really suits him. So it's really exciting that we're only just getting going as well, 8 games into the season. And the longer we keep this good run going, the better.
Yeah, I mean, the bench, the strength in depth on the bench, just looking at it compared to... When we had all our injuries at the end of last season and the bench was very, very threadbare. The difference is ridiculous now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, absolutely is. I was just saying that Morton, he didn't get any goal involvements last time, but he's had one start and two appearances off the bench, and he's got two assists now. So I think perhaps, you know...
I mean, Sky Sports put a graphic up today when he was on the pitch about his stats at Blackburn. Yeah. And he was ranked first in their team for passes forward, chances created. For how deep he plays... That's another angle on the pitch that's given us options. Go on, Will.
No, you go on.
So it's like if you look at our attacking options, a front four, and what can be created slash scored in that sense, and then you've got Morton who's sitting a bit deeper that's also going to contribute to that. You know, the potential for goals in this side is so high at the minute.
Yeah, I think the other stat which goes off from that came where I remember it coming up about Liam's time so far at Hull City, where it was saying how he's one of the more like the third best team in terms of clean sheets and goals conceded, had the second least defeats, but we had like the 15th most goals scored and like the 10th most points. And I think that's the difference about this season so far. We're scoring the chances we didn't score last season.
Yeah.
And now we've put that right, hopefully, well, we're fourth. So that suggests it's working.
Yeah.
And there's still that mind-blowing stat that it's, what, 7 defeats in 38 under Liam Rosina in the Championship. Like, we've nearly played 40 games and only lost 7 of them.
Yeah. People have mentioned his win rate, but a lot of his draws, it's just he hasn't lost men.
For me, it's frustrating that, because last season, we had such an injury-ravaged squad that the draws, compared to where we were under Schotta, the draws are a good thing, because we would have lost those games under Schotta and probably got relegated. Yes, we were maybe a goal off, you know, X amount of wins last season. But to me, Rosinia's prime objective last season was to come in and make us hard to beat. And he did that. This season, his objective was to get us scoring goals. And he's done that. So you know, everything that we need from Rosinha is getting out the squad at the minute. And when you're sat in fourth place after eight games, you know, it's hard not to be optimistic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a start, but I think you have to have a positive start, really. It's very difficult to come back. I know Nottingham Forest did it a few years ago, but it is very difficult to sort of get behind and then, you know, go on a really good run. If we can go on a good run from the very start of the season, that's perfect. But yeah, I guess last year make us hard to beat, and I think perhaps we did need that last year, you know, to make those mistakes from, you know, Adjin and Tan with the recruitment. And then also, like, you look at the fitness of Traore and Tufan getting better and then becoming important players. I saw on YouTube sort of two YouTube shorts next to each other, Tufan scoring on the first day against Bristol and then the first day, you know, at home against Sheffield Wednesday. I could just see how much fitter he was and thinner. And I think, you know, we've needed that year, because, you know, he's going to be even more important for us this year. So I think, you know, it's been important to have that time to improve. I guess Coyle will be back for the next match. I think Venegri actually played quite well, as you said, Ant, using his pace to get forward and with Slater sort of backing him up. Should we drop Venegri? Because I don't really think you want to drop many people after a win. But then he's going to have to change the team because, of course, McLaughlin will have to come in, presumably, for Greaves. So what do we think about the lineup for the next match?
I'm not actually sure. It's tough, you know, because I wouldn't be surprised if he put Maka in centre-back and moved Greaves into left-back.
Yeah,
but that could work. I mean, I guess it depends who he wants to play in left wing. Because, like you say, if you play Venegra, I feel like you need Slater above him. Whereas Morton's played really well, so if you do play a Twine on the left hand side, for example, Slater, are you going to drop him for Morton alongside Seri? There's a lot of headaches all over the squad. Like, a lot of cogs move if you want to include one player to sort of make up for some tactical error somewhere else on the pitch. Like, for example, Venegra going forwards but not so good backwards. For me, obviously, Maka comes in. I don't know if you can... Venegra played well for me, but are we going to keep Slater up where he was?
I do find it funny that we've signed all these wingers and yet Regan Slater coming at left wing is still the best thing to do, you know?
But he didn't really play as a winger. He pressed it on the wing, so they're obviously wing back and centre back, but he moved central to let Venegra go forward. So Venegra was technically a wing back today.
We have sort of been playing that asymmetrical system with Lekilo, you know, against Sheffield Wednesday, for example, as a wing back, and then, you know, Coyle.
We went to a 3-5-2 against Leeds as well, with Coyle at the back, but then Coyle went off and they brought Maka on, and we went to that back three that some of us probably would have liked to have seen at the start of the season. And we had Lekilo and Philogene, didn't we, as the wing backs, and they even looked good at doing that. So, like you say, you've got such variation now in what systems you can play, what players play everywhere. There's versatility in the squad galore.
Yeah. I mean, I think Plymouth, if we want to move on to that next match, they have a very poor away record, a very good home record. They've scored a lot of goals at home. They beat Norwich 6-2 recently, but away from home, they've, I think, lost 3 and drawn 1, and Watford aren't very good this year. So I think perhaps they're going to probably just sit back and counter us. We need those technical players on the pitch to sort of unlock them. And I imagine that perhaps having, you know, I don't think he's going to want to play Greaves at left back. He's going to have the pace of Venegra, perhaps. And I think we want to keep Traore in. Of course, he scored, but he's a good technical player.
You can imagine play Greaves at left back.
No, I don't know if he will. Could play him up front, you know, just cross the ball into him.
I mean, he's suspended. He won't play Greaves at left back.
Oh, of course. Well, he's going to have to play Venegra on. Well, we could try McLaughlin at left back and then be at centre back. Yeah, I think he'll probably want to keep Venegra perhaps, because I think his pace looked pretty good. I think it's time. It is time, finally, this episode, for the most exciting part of the podcast. Sorry, Ant, but going to cover your face up with the graphic. I think because, of course, we're fourth, they're 12th. At the moment, it's a ratio of 7 whole players to 4 Plymouth players. I'll just read it out. Allsop in goal after 2 Man of the Match performances. Venegra, Jones, Scar, who scored against Norwich for Plymouth. Christie, Whittaker has got 3 goals and 4 assists so far, I think. Traore, Azaz, and Philogene. And then up front, we've got Connolly and Hardy, who've scored 5 goals each. So this team would not, I would never put this team out because it's just so attacking. Even the fullbacks are going to be pushing up, and Traore and Azaz are not sitting players. But Will and Ant, thoughts on this one?
I think I'd have Mumba in above Christie at the minute.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Christie didn't do anything wrong today.
He didn't, but Mumba's got a lot of goal contributions so far for Plymouth this season. He's done really well from fullback, whereas obviously Christie's still coming back for us. Maybe he's not 100% yet, but he's on his way there. But other than that, you haven't done too bad, to be fair.
Okay, it's pretty much the same as every week then. Will, thoughts? Not too terrible, I hope. No, tell us how you feel.
It's fine.
Oh, the diplomatic approach. That's surprising. Liam's
I've never
saying,
put in Morton for Azaz, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah, Morton. Honestly, I will put Morton in because I just forgot about him. I was thinking about Seri so much because he's been in every one I've done. Harry's the doing a sort of
face palm emoji. He didn't have the greatest game against Stoke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Of course, the chance that we had, or Stoke had at the very end, also made a good save from the free kick, and Connolly got annoyed at Seri. Sometimes the major thing you can say about Seri is that maybe he's not really quick, and although he is really good on the ball and getting out of those tight situations, because he's so calm and relaxed, sometimes it just does take a little bit too long, once every game or so. And I think that's what happened against Stoke. We've got a comment here. Any problem for Toufan? I think Traore scored. We've got some good attacking players. I think it would be amazing if at home, because that's what we're saying, Toufan's good at home. You know, he wasn't on the pitch, but if we don't need him like we didn't today, perhaps then...
Unless they mean an injury-wise, which I don't think there is, because obviously he came
back. He was on the bench, wasn't he?
He didn't bring Toufan on because we were winning comfortably.
Yeah, he didn't need to risk it, did he?
He didn't want to risk him, so he'll probably be seen against Plymouth.
Yeah, I think, that's why we brought him on against Leeds, who wanted to get the points, but we didn't need to risk it. And, you know, I think Delap did really again coming on. He had that really great, amazing run from the halfway line and ended up with a shot that was tipped over or blocked. And, I think he's going to get a lot more goals. And, would have been nice for him to get a goal against his former side. But I think that just...
Yeah, it was a weird one for me that we dropped Delap. I think that was the most surprising change for me. I don't know if he wants to keep him
there.
Because obviously it was against his former side as well. And then the club that his dad sort of made his legendary status at. So I feel like he might have had a bit more impetus to score kind of thing. And he came on, he looked like a man possessed. Like you say, first thing he did was turn a Stoke midfielder, charge towards the goal and have a shot. Probably should have slipped Slater in, to be fair. But Delap looks a completely different new animal for us this season. So if he's saving him for Plymouth, then, you know, I'd be worried as a Plymouth fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because it was a 3-game week, Fusini's been saying in their press conferences, his decision-making is sort of going to be based on that. And I think he's managed the week fairly well. You know, perhaps we should feel a little bit aggrieved for not coming away with 7 points this week, but I think 5. And Coventry and Leeds are very good teams. So I think generally it's been very positive. Last little thing, just thinking about Slater, I guess, you know, formations, it's just about having the sort of right players on the pitch. And if Slater's there to, you know, back up Vinagre, then that worked out quite well. It'll be very interesting to see what he does against Plymouth. But anything else about the two games this week, or do we want to do our predictions for Plymouth?
I'm going to make an appeal out there to anyone at Hull City. When is that tracksuit coming out? Because I want to buy every single damn copy of it.
Yeah. I mean, the one they were training in beforehand with the sort of red and yellow. Someone,
the retro
1980s. The 1980s, red and amber.
Yeah, I'm sure perhaps someone in the comments could tell us exactly what season that's kind of based on, because I imagine that there was a sort of kit that looked a little bit like that with the red and yellow or amber. But I can't remember what it was. Apparently, I was born like a week ago, according to some of the comments. Yeah, pretty much. But it's been a really good week. Is promotion... I mean, I know I predicted 11th. Can we start to dare to dream? I know it's 8 games, but... in two games.
My prediction.
If we're still in the playoffs with, you know, in the next two games, I know we've got Plymouth and then a tough game at Ipswich after 10 games, if we're there, can we dare to dream, Ant?
I still think that top 10's probably whereabouts we are as a squad. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a really tough run of fixtures coming up, so let's see where we are at the end of it. But the good thing that we've got going so far now is that we're getting points against sides that perhaps we wouldn't have done last year, and we're getting points against sides around us. I mean, if you look at the teams we've played, you know, a lot of them have been in the top half. The top half sides, Bristol City, Leeds, Leicester, Norwich, etc. They've all been sides that are in and around us, and we've been taking points, maybe not of Norwich, but of all the others. So why can't we be playoff chasers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess top 10 does include the top 6 as well, doesn't it? So not necessarily saying, but I think about tough fixtures. We've just had a run of tough fixtures, Leeds and Leicester, and then Coventry and Blackburn, who were, you know, just outside the playoffs. And, you know, Stoke have made a lot of good signings. They've spent a lot of money. Every single game's tough. I know Ipswich is going to be tough, but if we can, you know, if we can
we've been breaking some of our club hoodoos this year. So maybe if we beat Huddersfield, then we know where we're heading. Because that for me, is the pinnacle of the season. If we beat Huddersfield, we get promoted.
Yeah. I mean, sort of Stoke is a hoodoo, isn't it? We beat them.
Yeah, Blackburn is usually as well.
Blackburn, absolutely. Because I put a tweet out that, I mean, we lost 5-1 under McCann that horrible season at Stoke, and then 2-0 again under McCann just when we got promoted. But then 0-0 last year, 3-1 this year. Last four games against Stoke away have sort of shown some progress as a club where we've been at that stage when we've played them. So, yeah, you're right. If we do beat Huddersfield away, is that sort of later in the year against, is it February?
I'll lump about 100 quid on us getting promoted the moment that full-time whistle goes Huddersfield away if we've won.
Yeah, that might not be worth much because I think by that point, if we keep playing like we are, we're going to be top anyway.
When is Huddersfield away?
Yeah, I think it's February. It's much later in the season, isn't it? So, Will, unfortunately for you, we were 3-0 up, very close to the end, and then Vidigal, their top scorer, got a consolation goal, really. So,
absolute twat.
Yeah, you're going to have to predict 3-0 again, so I'm going to ask you first, at home to Plymouth, you know, can we keep in the playoffs, you know, get up to 18
I
points?
I will happily predict 3-0. Happily
predict 3-0?
Yeah, usually
I feel
this
like
season,
this is a game where it's quite likely as well.
Yeah, I think Plymouth is probably
score 6 against Norwich, like, but
they're a different side at home than they are away.
Yeah,
the home form was sort of why they got us to have done pretty well away from home as well, but they were very good
at
home
last
year.
We've lost one in the last 16 at home.
Yeah.
Oh, it's set up then, isn't it? If we're good at home and they're awful away.
It's better for a 1-0 Plymouth win.
City could be rearing its head.
Liam's here saying we seem to play great against the big teams, but then we go to the ones below us, we tend to falter, and Plymouth are below us.
There's 20 teams below us right now.
Yeah, we'd be pretty rubbish if we were rubbish against the teams below us. But,
I get what you mean, because last season we did struggle against a lot of other sides who were in that lower table.
And historically tends to be what we do.
Yeah. We got 1 point or 2 points out of Reading and Huddersfield combined, and they were both pretty grim last year when we were playing them. So, well, generally, predictions, 3-0, Will, you're saying? Ant, what are you saying for the Plymouth game?
I'm going to say 3-1.
3-1? Yeah, similar to today. Well, this is a difficult one because I want to predict us to win, and I predicted us to win today by 2 goals, and that happened.
What do you mean you want to predict us to win? Why? What you want
it's
to
just,
say? There's a book coming.
We're being too good. This is the best we've done in the Championship after 8 games. This is unprecedented times, really. I mean, Liam's there saying I have that anxiety about us. And I mean, I have to predict us to win. 4-0. I reckon. Yeah, why not? Chayore is going to score again and the floodgates going to open 4-0. Why not?
We sound way too over the top.
We really do. But maybe that's the way to beat you in the prediction table.
But we've good reason. We've not lost since the opening day of the season and we're scoring goals this season. So why can't we?
Yeah,
we're a very good side at home. Home's kind of turned into a fortress. We're in good form. We're scoring goals and Plymouth aren't very good away.
Yes, I'm actually I'm pretty sure.
For Nathaniel, the supposed sensible one, to go 4-0, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. Okay, so Plymouth haven't actually lost this season, but I'm just checking League One and League Two, because I know...
They definitely lost this season.
Plymouth have lost.
But Preston haven't lost. And then Liverpool and Man City haven't, but they've not played 7 games. So we might have the second longest unbeaten streak in the country. That might be a thing. But I'm just checking League One and League Two. Although
yeah, us and Preston are on the best run in the Football League.
Yeah.
I know that us...
Portsmouth.
Is it us, Stockport, yeah, Portsmouth. And who else was it? Ipswich have got the best home records this year.
Mm-hmm. They've only lost once in 2023.
And it was, we lost to Burnley. It was our one. The 3-1 loss to Burnley.
Yeah, that was a disappointing one, but I guess...
But it was also a predictable one. They were waltzing to the championship title.
Yeah, well, at some point they could have been, you know, the best ever, but they just sort of faltered at the end. Maybe when Twine started playing, he messed it up for them. I think let's be positive. They're, you know, a newly promoted team and we're fourth. I think we're fairly justified to predict a win. So thanks again for everyone commenting and liking. We'll be back very soon to discuss, hopefully, another good 3 points against Plymouth. So, Anton, well, thanks for joining me.
Hopefully announced as FCA finalists tomorrow.
Yes, so you can start voting for whoever it is tomorrow afternoon.
I'm not expecting it.
No, well,
we've gone downhill since Nathaniel got involved, so it's not happening.
Yeah, thank you very much. And on that bombshell, we'll see you next week.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.